The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. This is Ewan Cameron.
Why are you smiling?
No, I'm just smiling. I'm happy to be back on the podcast today. You know?
You've got a big cheesy grin on your face and I'm going to wipe it from your face if you
continue
with this.
I look forward to the podcast every single week. Yeah. So I always have a smile on my face because it's one of my favourite times of the week. I love doing it. And how was your... In fact, no. I saw you on Saturday because we were doing the big Saturday football show. It was me, you and former Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday we were on Fourth One. We were doing a special show because it was Hearts versus Rangers. Mm-hmm. In the Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden. And you were there.
I was at Hampden. Yes,
I was. You were at Hampden as well. So, I mean, how was your big day out to the big national stadium? How was that?
First of all, can I just say, I'm here because I'm not a shite bag. I've turned up to face the music after what I witnessed yesterday.
Okay, right. And what did you witness yesterday?
What I did witness yesterday were 11 shite bags. Right. Turn up at Tynecastle. Sorry, at Hampden.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would have been as well turning up at Tynecastle for all they did.
Yeah. And I know we're going to talk more about the game and what happened shortly.
Yes, we are.
I know we are.
We are.
So, before we get there...
Ewan, do you want your sad dance?
Yes!
I'm not doing any sad dance.
You want your sad dance, Ewan?
I think you need to do a sad dance.
I'm not doing a sad dance.
That's too happy, that music.
Yeah, that's too happy. Music. Right, okay, help me.
Right. Do a sad dance for everyone. 2-1.
When I was young, I never needed anyone. And making love was just for fun. Those days are gone. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known.
So you're getting... That wasn't really a dance. That was more just you walking back and forward. It's a sad walk, I would say.
I didn't have it in me to do a sad dance.
That was poor for a sad dance. Yeah. It wasn't as good as your last one.
We'll talk about the football in a second. It was just atrocious. I mean, I really didn't have a good day at all. But I would like to... I'd like to do something before I do anything else.
Right, okay.
So I tweeted yesterday after the game, and all I said was, pish day.
Yeah, and with a wrestling gif. I notice you're getting into your wrestling now. It was Triple H.
Triple H with an angry face, and I just put pish day, and obviously the Rangers fans had a few.
You're a big wrestling fan, so you'd expect that.
So I just put pish day. And with an angry face, and I just went home and I didn't do anything else. I didn't respond to anybody on Twitter. I didn't look at Twitter, but I did have a wee look this morning. And Jamie Langfield, who's a St Mirren goalkeeping coach.
Yes, a St Mirren goalkeeping coach.
So when I tweeted pish day after Hearts got beat from Rangers, he replied to that tweet with, how? You're in the final.
All right. See, he's obviously fallen for all that Jambo Bear patter that I've told people to stop calling you. So when you were at Hampden yesterday, did anyone call you Jambo Bear? Who are you calling?
Jamie.
Jamie Bear. He won't answer.
Because he's a shite bag. Let's see if he'll answer.
They might be training.
Welcome to the EE voicemail.
I'll leave you a message.
I'm sorry, but the person you've called is not available. Please leave your message after the tone. After you've finished your message, just hang up. Or to hear more options, please press 1.
Jamie Langfield, it's you in here, mate. Clearly a shite bag because you've not picked up the phone. Just wanted to say that you're a fud. Have a great day.
It's not very nice.
Well,
remember...
He tweeted that to hundreds of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people saw him tweeting, how... Your team are in the final. No, my team aren't in the fucking final because we got beat 2-0. And
one of the just
take
before
deep breath, deep breath,
before
deep
we
breath.
Go on to that, I was
at Hart Hill yesterday. The Hart Hill Services drive into the game. And
a really grim place.
I stopped off at Hart Hill Services to get myself
really
a meal
expensive M&S.
Right, I stopped off to get myself
and
a meal
petrol.
Deal. I wanted a roast beef horseradish sandwich.
They're good, though.
They're very good. And the meal deal was £4.50, and I got myself a packet of cheese and onion crisp. I got myself a horseradish and beef sandwich. Lovely. And a bottle of Coke. And I got myself a bottle of water and a double-decker as well for when I come out the game afterwards. So, get to M&S. And as soon as I step out of M&S, the amount of Rangers fans that were in Hart Hill, Jumbo Bear! Get up, you Jumbo Bear! Moan the Rangers! Oh, you won't mind who wins! Oh, you can't lose the day, Jumbo Bear! I'm pissy sick of it. I get to Hampden. I park in the parking spot. I've got a 10-minute walk to the stadium. Jumbo Bear! Ha, ha, ha! Jumbo Bear! Ho, ho, ho! You're a fudge! You're this, you're that! Listen, the banter was great before the game. I was giving as much as I was getting. Not a problem with it. And then when I get to the stadium and I'm in my position to work on fourth one, mm-hmm. directly behind me, thousands of Rangers fans behind me.
We heard them.
I know you heard them.
Yeah, we could hear them because we were in the studio and you were obviously down the line.
Yeah.
And all we heard is sort of like,
and I'm your Jumbo Bear. For the entire game, it was Jumbo Bear this, Jumbo Bear that, and see when Rangers took the lead after five minutes.
That would have been a bad time to
horrific.
Be you.
It was horrific. Yeah. It was horrific.
What about when they scored again to make it 2-0? Was that a bad time for you as well?
I wanted to leave.
I mean, we did leave. I mean, you did leave about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I sprinted to the car, still didn't escape from the Rangers fans, though. The abuse that I was getting. Listen, it was all good natured and good banter, but I just didn't want to be there. I wanted to be anywhere but there. No. I wanted to be in a dominatrix dungeon. That's how bad it was. I'd rather have been in a dominatrix dungeon.
All the things I thought you were going to say there, that was not on my list of things.
I mean, I've been in a dominatrix dungeon. I've never used any of the equipment, but I've seen some of the equipment that they use in a dominatrix dungeon, and I'd rather have been there getting that used on me than having to put up with what I put up with yesterday with Rangers fans outside Hampden.
Rangers used atrocious. Much of the equipment on the Hearts team yesterday. And I think you'll agree that there were 11 gimps in my room yesterday. So
very good. Right. We'll get to the game and the details. I just want to
stop calling him Jumbo Bear.
Shut up.
I've said this a few times.
Go and do my movie thing. I need to do a recommendation.
All right. By the way, I watched Baby Reindeer.
Well, that was... I recommended that last week, and I just want to recommend that again.
It's grim. I mean, it's good, but it's grim.
And the reason I'm recommending it again is because, see, last week when I talked about it, not many people had watched it or heard of it, and then this week it is... blown up to be...
And that was all because you mentioned that on the podcast last week.
Exactly, because my recommendations are that good.
Richard Gadd, the writer and star of it, has you to thank for all the success of...
You hadn't heard of it until I mentioned it last week. Producer John hadn't heard of it until I mentioned it last week. Punters hadn't heard of it until last week.
No,
I recommended it, and after the recommendation, it's on Lad Bible, it's on CNN, he turned up on Lorraine, he turned up on This Morning, all because I recommended it.
I like how you've gone... Lad Bible, CNN, as your first two sources there.
So, again, I'm recommending it again because I'm clearly good at it. Baby Reindeer on Netflix is a must-watch. To everybody who sent me a message watching, who had watched What Jennifer Did, they all loved it. They were highly... They were highly... it's not the right word. I'm not looking. They were impressed by my recommendation of What Jennifer Did.
We got there eventually.
Baby Reindeer, though, go watch it. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix.
Is that your only recommendation this week?
Well, I just wanted to big up myself.
You wanted to re-recommend?
I wanted to big up myself because look at what's happened in the week since I recommended it last Monday.
Okay.
You said amazing week.
Right.
And I interviewed Richard Gadd about 6-7 years ago at the Edinburgh Festival. Like,
I mean, if it weren't for you...
I inspired him to go and write the screenplay for it.
So thanks for all your correspondence, as per usual. On the podcast, we do like all your comments. You can leave them on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. You can just leave your comments below. That's probably the quickest way to do it as you're watching it on YouTube. Or if you're listening on a podcast application, remember, leave us 5 stars and a big nice review as well. We like them. And you can tweet us at BigFootballScott. On last week's quiz, lots and lots and lots and lots of people getting in touch. Dave, how can Broadwood be the highest stadium in the SPFL if it's no longer used in the SPFL?
Yeah.
Ryan, I'm not one to stick up for Ewan, but for the top bin question, was it not confirmed it was a stadium in the 42 clubs?
Yes.
only for it not to be used anymore.
Yes.
Alexander, John got Jambo Bear's top bin question wrong as he asked us what SPFL ground has the highest altitude, then goes on to say it's no longer used in the SPFL.
Correct. I was absolutely
Glasgordy, think Ewan has been stitched up.
Yeah.
The highest altitude ground in the Scottish Football League, he clarified, it was agreed to SPFL, but at the end it was told it wasn't used in the SPFL. Add to that a quick look at the whole World Stadium base. I mean, World Stadium database. I didn't know that existed.
It does.
Broadwood is at 78 metres.
Correct.
Dens is at 83 metres, which is, interestingly enough, 3 metres higher than Tannadice. You'd expect all the water would run down to Tannadice, but hey-ho. However, sneaking in the back is Fir Park at 87 metres. And Charlie says, Stephen said, 2017 final answer after the buzzer, Ewan was robbed again. Bugger off, Charlie.
Yeah.
The other part, I, again, as I always say, I don't write the questions.
I know you don't. I'm not.
Have a go at me.
I'm not having a go at you.
No, I'm not saying you are, but people are. People have a go at me.
Well, they do have a go at you.
No, but I don't write the questions. It's nothing to do with me.
I don't know if you two are in cahoots to make me look like a fucking idiot week in and week
you
out.
You do that fine yourself, and we'll get to the football in just a wee second.
And we will get to the quiz, because I've got something to say about the quiz and the quiz for this week, but that is coming up later in the podcast, because as a lot of people have pointed out, I have been getting done over, not just last week, but have on a regular basis. John, producer John, I'm telling you now, if you see anything that pisses me off, you're going to see the worst and hear the worst of me, because you've made me look like an idiot way too much in recent weeks, right? And I've had enough of it.
Right. Okay.
Can we just laugh at my expense?
I believe I did correct myself. I initially said the SPFL.
John,
I went
you've
back
had a shocker
myself.
Here, mate. You've had a shocker.
And by the way, can we just go back to what Ewan's first answer was? I think was Arbroath, which was at sea level or something like that. He chose a stadium at sea level.
If I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you asked me that question, whether I said Arbroath or fucking the Seychelles, it would have still been fucking null and void because the question was wrong.
Apparently it's Airdrie, by the way. It's not...
Was it Airdrie?
Apparently it is Airdrie. Oh, yeah, okay. So that guy who missed and's got it wrong as well.
Glasgow. It doesn't matter whether he's got it wrong or no. The point is, you got it wrong and you made me look like a fucking idiot and you had a right good laugh at my expense. Well, no more.
Two wrongs don't make a right, John. Famously.
Famously, yes.
My granny told me that and I was a boy at the time.
So...
years ago.
Right, okay.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Right,
let's get on to some more of your correspondence on James Tavernier. Big Time Burger says, Ewan, no team has ever come in for Tavernier. That tells you all you need to know.
I said that.
Can we say the same for Scott Brown or Callum McGregor or James Forrest?
No.
All of the above are littered with trophies at Celtic, but not once can I think of anyone ever trying to sign them.
Was Callum McGregor not once linked with Newcastle?
I think... Brendan Rodgers tried to sign Cal McGregor for Leicester.
I think so, yeah. Was Scott Brown not linked to Newcastle at one stage as well?
Yeah,
I think there's something in that.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Scott Brown was maybe linked before he signed with Celtic. Was he not linked with Spurs or something as well?
Rangers as well, because I was around at the time. And the talk was at the time, because Paul Le Guin was Le Guin the manager? Was he the one that signed Thompson? I can't remember. But at the time, because I was working on the Real Radio Football phone-in, and I was in the know with a lot of the chairman and the managers of that...
It's the Real Football phone-in. With Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
And the talk was that Brown and Thompson were signing for Rangers.
Mm.
So when it broke that Scott Brown was going to Celtic and Thompson was going to Rangers, that was a huge shock. Because from what I was led to believe, there was a deal done for both to go to Rangers. I don't know why it didn't happen, but Murray had done a deal for both.
Well, I know they're still pretty good mates, I think, him and
Kevin Thompson and Scott Brown.
And Stephen Whitaker's his assistant at Air United as well, so they're all still mates.
But I don't know what happened there, why Rangers didn't end up with both, because I'm pretty sure a deal had been done in case... Probably Celtic might have come in and decided to offer more money, maybe something like that. I can't remember the details of it.
No idea. On Dundee, John says, leave Dundee alone. To resolve the drainage problem, They would have to tear the whole stadium down and dig up the pitch, which would cost more than building a whole new stadium. Well, it wouldn't. Also, they are located in a central area. It would disrupt all of the residents in the area for at least a couple of years. Thank you, John.
Leave Dundee alone.
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Craig says, can't threaten Dundee with a fine or suspended point deduction is because other clubs would need to vote for it and it would come back to haunt others. Well, they have been fined now. So
they have been fined, yeah.
Papatch's Pen says, just watch what Jennifer did. It was another great recommendation.
There you go.
Hard to get something the wife would like, but you've knocked it out the park again. Love the pod and keep the movie reviews coming. That's from Papatch's Pen. So there you are.
Baby reindeer, mate. Get it watched.
Also, Alan has turned Ewan from Jambo Bear to Rambo Bear as well. Did you see that picture? If we can see it, there it is. It's up on the screen there. There is Rambo Bear.
That's lovely, isn't it?
That's you.
I have said in the past that I am a cross between Tom Cruise and Sylvester Stallone.
Nah, I don't think so.
If I put my sunglasses on, hold on.
Oh no, don't do
if
this.
If I put my sunglasses don't on, you'll this. See a cross between no. Tom Cruise and Sylvester Stallone. There you go. If I looked in the camera, you'd think you were looking at a Hollywood actor. No?
You wouldn't. You think you're looking at?
No, don't see it.
Jambo Bear.
Anyway, that was a good picture. Thanks.
Thank you. Also, I say thank you. Actually, I'm not going to say thank you. I'm going to say please stop doing it. Please stop sending Ewan pictures of you eating in the bath.
Oh, we've got a picture of we.
It's disturbing.
Who we got a picture of?
I think there might be. There's Jerry Taylor, who is a friend of the show. That's him eating soup. You're blocking the view for everyone else.
I'm actually just having a look at the picture. Is he sat in a...
He's sat in the bath.
Has he got bread on his penis?
He appears to have buttered bread covering his penis and bread on his thighs and him eating a bowl of soup in the bath. And the bath water looks like soup as well.
Is he sitting in a bath of soup?
Yeah, that wasn't great. If you've not seen that, if you're listening to this, jump onto YouTube.
No, I wouldn't.
If you want to see that.
It's weird because I have just messaged Jerry Taylor about an hour ago about a blog that he's written for the Celtic State of Mind podcast. And Jerry said in the blog that despite poor recruitment, the plague of injuries and losing Abada, Rodgers is still pushing towards a double. So he was offering a multitude of excuses as to why Celtic haven't been as good as they should be, right, in this blog. And I read it. So I then text Jerry. And I said to him, does your blog offering a multitude of excuses still stand if Rangers win the treble? You're offering these excuses now because you're in a great position to win a double. But does those excuses still wash if Rangers win a treble? And he came back with this.
Ah, pal. My pals have been giving me pelters for it and all.
That wasn't the start of the message, hold on.
Okay.
If you'll notice in the blog, it says, if we win. And an umpteen times I did say that this isn't me getting carried away or celebrating the title.
If, he says, if. So what he's suggesting is, if Rangers do go on to win the treble, he's going to go after Brendan Rodgers. So he's left it open.
Yeah. So it's like when you said if Hearts beat Rangers, Celtic and Hibs in that week, they would be in a title race. But they didn't.
Yeah.
So they weren't.
No, they weren't.
And let's get on to the football then. So let's start with yesterday. Rangers 2, Hearts 0. 17 games at Hampden. Rangers versus Hearts. And Rangers have won them all. Hearts have lost all of their last 5 games against Rangers. They haven't beaten Rangers since February of 2020, something like 15 matches.
It's 15 matches, you're right. We had one draw in there.
And Cyril Dessers, a man who, on the show last week, you said embodied Rangers' problems. You said this guy is nowhere near good enough. You said that in order for Rangers to be successful and win the league, Cyril Dessers has to be replaced as a Rangers number 9. He is not a Rangers number 9. And he obviously listened to the podcast last week and thought, I know what we'll do. Get it right up Ewan Cameron, because he scored twice yesterday. He probably should have scored a couple more and fired Rangers into the Scottish Cup final. Rangers barely broke sweat yesterday. Hearts, Ewan Cameron, were pathetic. A pathetic performance by Hearts.
You can probably see on that piece of paper that I've written down a number of words to describe Hearts' performance.
Shall I read them out?
No, I'd like to read them out.
You read them out.
I would like to read these words out because this is how I felt at Hampden yesterday after watching Heart of Midlothian Football Club.
You should do it to the song. H-E-A-R-T-S.
No, don't do that because that's just rub salt into the wound. I'm just going to...
Horrible.
So the words that I've written down here to describe...
Go on, Ian.
Feeble, woeful, sorry, poor, pitiful, lamentable, deplorable, miserable, shameful, humiliating, mortifying.
G-G-A-R-T-S. Go on, Ian.
That's it. I can't add much more to... Shut up. You can stop that now. I Do you want to stop that?
Do you want to twirl your wee scarf round?
No.
Anything like that?
There's more words that I could add to that list about our performance.
Why were Hearts so pathetic yesterday?
I wish I knew the answer, Stephen.
Why are they so pathetic every time they play Rangers?
I have on this...
And by the way, just to clarify, I'm not suggesting there's any sort of conspiracy here, but every time... Like, Hearts' record is shocking against Rangers.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, I had a few people tweeting me, or somebody tweeted me with the Hearts sort of stats last night, like all the way back to like 2020, like 15 games or whatever it is. And then people were like, oh, but, you know, Aberdeen's stats against Celtic are the same. But Aberdeen have been pish for a lot of that. And Celtic have been the best team in the country for a lot of that. Whenever Hearts have been playing Rangers, they've either been in third or fourth in the league. Like, they've been the next best team, mm-hmm. just about, in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Aberdeen have finished ninth twice in that run.
Yeah.
Hearts have always been the best of the rest, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they've not even got close to Rangers. Last time they played them, they got beat 5-0.
Connect.
And yesterday, it could have been 5-0.
Ahead of that game... They would go beat 5-0. Hearts are on a 12-game unbeaten run.
And then they go to Ibrox.
And get absolutely spanked.
Then you were giving it the big licks last week, saying this is the best time to play Rangers. They're in a horrible running form.
Yeah.
They're falling to bits. Hearts are going in here really strong. Stephen A. Smith has learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
And then you go to Hampden and get your drawers pulled down.
Yeah. What I mean, you're looking at me and I can see you're ready to burst out laughing. But what do you want me to say that I haven't already said in the words that I've used to describe our performance yesterday?
I think
yesterday?
You should start by apologising to Cyril Dessers because you were really harsh with him.
I'll get
19 goals in all competitions. And I think, and somebody will be able to correct me on this, I think there's only five or six Rangers players, or strikers I should say, five or six Rangers strikers in the last 25 years to get more than 20 goals in a season. Now, he's going to get 20 or more goals. And it's like Morelos, Chris Boyd, Kenny Miller, Nacho Novo, Morelos. I think that's it. And Dessers is going to add his name to that list. And you slaughtered him last week.
Yeah, I said last week that you cannot win a league title with Cyril Dessers.
But you can win semi-finals against Hearts. I mean, Hearts were so bad. I can't believe how bad they were.
21,500 Hearts fans made the journey from Edinburgh to Hampden.
And I bet you they shifted a lot of tickets after...
They did, after the Dundee game.
After the Dundee game.
See, after the Ross County and Dundee game, we shifted a lot of tickets because, like me, there was a confidence that swept through the Hearts support that we would beat Rangers at Hampden and reach the cup final. And I'm not going to name names here because it's not fair, because I think I was probably told this in... What's the word?
In confidence. Confidence.
So somebody that we both know, their friend is a Hearts season ticket holder. And this friend said, I'm not going to Hampden. I haven't got myself a ticket for me, the kids and the husband, because every time that I have made the effort to go to Hampden, my team haven't made the effort when they get to Hampden. That's why I'm not going.
Well, against Rangers, yeah.
That's what I think she was getting at. And what happened yesterday? She was right. She wasn't there yesterday. Because again, Hearts have turned up and they haven't put in a performance. The fans turned out in their thousands. They were there. Our team did not turn up. A load of shite bags. Every single one of them. There wasn't one pass mark for any of those players. We were abysmal. I was embarrassed. And it was made worse with the Rangers fans directly behind me. And listen, we had a bit of a laugh, a little bit of a joke.
They'd have been calling you Jambo Bear as well.
And they were rubbing salt into the wounds. And I just thought, I just wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. And I can see why that particular Hearts fan, who's a season ticket holder and had been for 25 years, says, I'm sick and tired of turning up to Hampden and watching my team not turn up. We make the effort to go through to Glasgow to watch our team, but our team never turn up. And again, Hearts never turned up. I was convinced that Stephen Naismith will have learned from his mistakes playing against Rangers, and nothing had changed. We froze again, and we always freeze against Rangers, and I cannot put my finger on why.
Hearts in the final third were so bad. Like, they it was incredible. When they had decisions to make, they made the wrong decision.
Every time.
Every single time. Yeah. Lauren Shankland had one of the poorest games I've seen him in a while, and obviously he's had a cracking season, and he's still a good player. He was like a pipe band turning yesterday at points.
I was watching him closely yesterday, and at times when he was running, it was like he was running through treacle.
It's that reason where, as much as I like him, he's a really good goal scorer, and he is a good player, and he's come on leaps and bounds. I think that performance yesterday is why Shea Adams is going to be starting at the Euros.
Shea Adams will start
for Scotland. Shea Adams is also playing pretty
I've said enough about Hearts, and I don't want to go. I don't get too hard on them. But that was poor, and I think they should be embarrassed themselves today. But the bigger picture here, our aim this season was to get third and guaranteed European football. We've got that. So well done in that respect. But we need to get it sorted when we play against Rangers, and we've got a big game against them coming
up. There was never
a
better time to play Rangers.
I know.
And then after 4 minutes, you concede a goal.
But what I will say...
Bad.
What I will say then is, I'm going to give Rangers some credit here, because they were under so much pressure going into that game after results against Ross County and Dundee, and I thought they were there for the taking.
And Hearts just went, there's a wee goal for you. There's a wee goal for you, just to give you a wee nice start. And then, to be fair, like after obviously the start, Rangers, like we're far and away the better team.
Oh, they were the better
Completely
team.
Dominated. I want to pick out a couple of players, actually, for Rangers, because I thought that Balogun had a tremendous game at the back.
I thought he was their best player.
Solid. Absolutely solid.
Unbelievable.
I think Diamande makes a difference in the midfield.
Good player.
When he's come back in, I thought Cantwell finally turned up in a big game.
He was our best player after Balogun.
I thought he played very well yesterday, causing all sorts of problems. And you know what? I was winding you up about Dessers there. And he did, to be fair, particularly his first goal, he took it well. He's still not very good, though. And you don't need to be good, I don't think. As long as you're putting the ball in the back of the net, nobody really cares. But his all-round play
is
not great.
No, it's really not. And I thought Lundstrom was very good yesterday.
I think Lundstrom had a good game, yeah.
He was allowed to dictate play. I mean, Hearts made him look like Beckenbauer when Beckenbauer was in his prime. That's how good Lundstrom was. Hearts didn't get anywhere near him. And I think him and Diamande dovetail each other really well. I think Diamande's a bit of a baller. I think they've got a player in there.
I thought Suter still looked a wee bit shaky. Don't think he had a great game.
No, Balogun was very good.
But Balogun, I thought, was really solid. Connor Goldson dropped.
I think his career at Rangers is over.
There was a lot of Rangers fans calling for that over the last couple of weeks he's been having a bit of a nightmare.
See, when the team news came out, because we get the team sheets, so some Rangers fans behind me, and as soon as the team sheets came round and I showed them that Balogun was starting ahead of Goldson, every single one of them, brilliant.
So you think Goldson's done?
I think Goldson could be done. I mean, for me personally, if I'm a Rangers man, and speaking of a lot of Rangers fans yesterday, they want Goldson gone in the summer.
Okay.
They want him sold in the summer. They want a new centre-half in there. And I thought Balogun was excellent yesterday. He was solid. No-nonsense defender. He gives it 100%. He's all heart. He wins headers. He clears his lines. He's no pissing about. He's a proper, proper defender. And I thought he was superb yesterday. He shackled Shankland. Shankland didn't have a chance, didn't have a sniff at any opportunity. So, yeah, I thought he was very, very good. Listen, fair play to Rangers. They did what they needed to do after what was a really tricky week for them. And they won by 2-0 and comfortably.
Yeah, very comfortably.
And Butland made one save, and the save came in the 89th minute. I'm not counting the save he had from Frankie Kemp
because he was offside.
Frankie Kemp was offside. There was a shot from Forrest on the left that was at his near post, but that wasn't really a save. The big save came in the 89th minute when Oda, he has the entire goal to aim at. And what does he do? I'm just going to shoot it straight at Butland, the best keeper in Scotland. It was an easy save for him. So apart from that, there was nothing really to cheer about. And I walked out the stadium with a number of Rangers fans, and they were obviously delighted to get to a cup final. And as I was heading towards the parking area, there was a load of Hearts fans getting in buses and everything. And the chat there was, they were just embarrassed by that performance. And Stephen Naismith was getting quite a bit of stick as well. But yeah. I'm going to hold off on giving him stick because he's
You've always been a big supporter of Stephen Naismith. Rangers through the final, and they'll of course play Celtic after what was a semi-final for the ages on Saturday. It was an unbelievable semi-final. 3-3 it finished after extra time. Celtic obviously winning 6-5 on penalties. I mean, where to start with this?
Best game in years.
I thought it was an unbelievable game of football, and everything that Hearts were yesterday in terms of how poor they were, Aberdeen were the opposite on Saturday. I thought Aberdeen turned up, gave it a go. They've had a horrendous season. They've had so many problems. But you wouldn't have thought that on Saturday. Yes, I mean, a couple of the goals, McKenzie will be absolutely like spewing for the goals.
Yeah.
McDonald,
you mean?
Sorry, McDonald. Yeah. Apologies. McDonald will be spewing for the goals. But what a start for Aberdeen. Miofsky again. He just shows that he's not going to be at Aberdeen next year.
No.
He's going to go for a lot of money in the summer. And, you know, Celtic and Rangers could do a lot worse than signing Bojan Miofsky in the summer.
If Bojan Miofsky was in a Rangers team right now, they win the league. Or even Shankland. Either one of them, they win the league. Miofsky's an outstanding footballer.
I think
great pass from Clarkson.
So we were chatting to former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan on Saturday, and he puts Miofsky ahead of Shankland.
He does.
On two counts, age.
Yeah.
He's younger. And secondly, he thinks his movement's a little bit better as well. And you saw that on Saturday for the first goal. Great. Run in behind Carter Vickers and manages to squeeze it past Hart, which is what you need. An absolutely terrible goal for Aberdeen to lose for the equaliser. McDonald dilly-dallying on the ball, robbed by Kyogo, and obviously shot rebounds to Kuhn, who slots it in. And then you're thinking when Forrest scores that's it, that's game over. But Aberdeen, from somewhere, pull it from somewhere, and Sockler equalises in the last couple of moments, and then obviously we go into extra time. O'Reilly scores again. Junior Hoylett just switches off for a second. Alistair Johnson down the right-hand side. Good cut back, O'Reilly. Composed finish. But then McDonald makes amends for his mistake earlier on in the game and equalises. Then we're into penalties. I mean, I think at this stage, everyone's exhausted. And at this stage, I still think Celtic are going to win this.
Yeah, we all did.
And just because, you know,
their experience,
a wee bit better quality.
Yeah. And when you get to the penalties, if I am the Aberdeen manager and I'm the Aberdeen captain, or even just the players in general, I'm going through Kelly Roos.
Oh,
in that dressing room.
So we had Ali Begg on the show. He does all of our Aberdeen stuff for us.
Yeah.
And he was down the line, and I said to him, I was like, what's Kelly Roos like at penalties? And he was like, he's never saved one, and he dives the wrong way all the time. And that's exactly what he did for virtually every penalty.
And then when Duncan steps up to take his penalty, Kelly Roos decides to lie down for cramp.
For cramp!
When his player, his teammate, is about to take a penalty under that sort of pressure, roll off the pitch.
Exactly.
Your teammate is standing there waiting to take a penalty. It's already nerve-wracking for him. What did we say while that was happening? We all said the three of us, he's going to miss this.
And then he hits the post, and then obviously Celtic have a penalty to win it.
Yeah.
And up steps Joe Hart.
Wanting the glory.
Now,
there was a Celtic fan in here telling me that Joe Hart turned up in a friendly against Man City and took a penalty and scored it?
Possibly. It was decided during the week. He was always going to be one of the penalty takers.
Been confirmed?
He'd been practising during the week.
It had been confirmed. So he was the fourth penalty taker all week?
Third or fourth penalty.
There you go.
So steps up, makes an arse of it, hits the post.
Yeah.
He ran up to the ball like, I'm trying to think of a way to describe this, like he'd never played football before.
Aye.
Like it was that way. Where
it was like he was taking a goal kick.
Like you looked at, you saw how Ederson took his penalty for Manchester City during the week. Now Ederson, if he was playing outfield, would be one of the best players in Scotland.
Yes.
And you know, just rattled his penalty home. Hart looked so awkward over it. Hits the post.
It turns out that he drilled it that hard because it was on the same side that Kelly Roos had cramp.
Was it?
That's why he did it.
Right.
He drilled it that hard because he knew Kelly Roos on that side was struggling. And I thought it was actually a decent strike. He was just unlucky that it hit the post and it bounced out.
And then Phillips obviously misses the penalty as the unlucky one, and Celtic are through.
And I thought it was an epic game. I mean, I'm not a fan of either side, but I was drained afterwards.
I felt tired after it. We were obviously on air going through everything, and I was tired after it. And you know what was interesting as well? The Celtic fans looked exhausted.
Aye.
They were just sort of like, thank God for that.
Yeah.
And then even Rodgers at the end of the game, now I didn't hear what Rodgers said after the game.
He was puffing his cheeks.
But he was walking around the pitch going,
aye, to the Celtic fans, they say, we've got a lot of way we won there.
Now, Celtic fell to bits when McGregor and Hatate went off.
Midfield was non-existent. Fell to bits. I will say this, and I said it at the time after the game, and also after the game yesterday, despite Rangers winning by 2-0, Celtic and Rangers are not very good. And I'm now convinced that in the last 5 games of the season, Celtic and Rangers will still drop points against the other teams. I don't see either of them going unbeaten or going on a winning run of 5 out of 5. Somebody somewhere is going to drop points.
I read somewhere last week, I think Rangers have only won 5 out of 5 once. And I think Celtic have done it
twice.
Celtic have done it twice,
I think. Twice,
So it isn't very common.
No, but especially
to win all 5 matches.
But especially the way the two are playing right now, because I think defensively you can get at them and score goals. So I think we're in for a really good end to the season in the last 5 games. And it starts this weekend. So I think we're in for an exciting end to the campaign. It could end when you get to the Old Firm game, right enough. But I thought at the weekend, seeing what Aberdeen did and seeing what Dundee and Ross County have done with Rangers, I tell you what, this league title is still very much on the line for me.
Celtic were so poor. Like the extra time
half.
In particular. Second half, extra time, they were so poor. And they really got away with one. If you're Aberdeen, you're absolutely gutted.
Aye.
But, you know, if you're Hearts, you're gutted as well. But at least with Aberdeen, they put in a wee bit of effort. So there we are. That was the Scottish Cup semi-finals. Celtic versus Rangers, 25th of May. At Hampden, and that's going to be the final, first time in 22 years.
So Rangers could
Celtic
be,
Rangers final.
Could be going for a treble, and Celtic could be going for a double.
Yes. Other big stories, just while we're here, actually. So the PFA Team of the Seasons have been put out. So not too many shocks, I don't think, in the Premiership team.
Nah, maybe Lundstrom, possibly.
I mean, it's voted for by the players.
Yeah, Lundstrom had a poor start to the season. He's had a good middle part of the season, and in the last month and a half, he's been really poor.
So it's for anyone who doesn't know, it's Butland, Tavernier, Carter Vickers, Scales, Beck, O'Reilly, Lundstrom, McGregor, Miovsky, Shankland, Bear. Hmm. I mean, and it must be, you know, what's that? That's 6 Celtic and Rangers players. That's quite a low showing for Celtic and Rangers.
Look at the front three.
I know, exactly. Well, Miovsky, Shankland and Bear.
When was the last time you didn't have a Celtic or a Rangers forward player in the best team?
Yeah.
For the end of the season.
In the Championship, it's spread about quite a bit. It's Ferry, McMillan, Holt, McMahon, Edwards, Frizzell, Sybold, Stanton, Moult, Graham, Payton. Interesting, only one Raith Rovers player in that, despite the fact they've had a really good season. But again, it's voted for by all the players.
Yeah, the players think they're prats, that's why.
In League One, interestingly, and producer John, I know why you've put this down, all Falkirk players, 10 Falkirk players, apart from Burrell, who's at Cove, who's had a really good season, scored loads of goals, but he was at Falkirk.
So what Falkirk player missed out?
Is it McKeever that missed out?
Poor Ross McKeever.
Ross McKeever.
He must be getting it tight in the dressing room.
Has he not scored like 15 goals or something?
Yeah, he's scored about 15
goals. But Burrell scored more, so he's in. He'll be getting it absolutely tight. And then in League Two is Jameson Pactinello, Carlo Pactinello, Jameson Buchanan, Martinuick, Wedderburn, Craig and McCarthy, Aitken Henderson and Nathan Austin. Also, very quickly before we move on to the Championship, a few Scotland injury concerns ahead of the Euros. So Nathan Patterson taking off against Chelsea. Slim chances of making the Euros by
unlikely.
Looks of it. I think, is he needing surgery on his hamstring?
Needed surgery.
Aaron Hickey is determined to make it. Apparently he's back running, which is good. Obviously he's not played since October, but we'd
take
him.
It's not a good sign, though.
We'd take him. Any other right-back options? We were chatting about this on Saturday.
The boy at Stourham Gratz, who went from Motherwell.
Max Johnson.
Yeah.
So he's Alan Johnson's son, playing at Stourham Gratz, who are top of the Austrian League ahead of... Salzburg.
Yeah.
Stourham Gratz are top of the league and is apparently having a pretty decent season. Domestically, I think O'Donnell's done. Nicky Devlin,
good shout. He's got pace. He's strong. Good defender. Listen, we're struggling right back. Nicky Devlin's not a bad shout.
I think he's pretty solid, Nicky Devlin. But I think, obviously, ideally, Hickey is there. Scott McTominay came off yesterday in the Man United match. I believe it's not too serious, though.
Fingers crossed. We'll find it today.
And the Stuart Armstrong one is not as serious as they first thought. They were worried it was his ACL that has gone. But apparently, he has a good chance of making the Euro, Stuart Armstrong, and actually making a return this season.
Can we just end the season now? Because I'm really scared we're going to lose some key players for Scotland in the Euros.
Yeah, Steve Clark was watching yesterday, I noticed as well. Yeah. In the Championship, let's move there. Now, it's not official, but if this was CNN and we were doing our American election coverage, we can now call the Championship for Dundee United.
Yeah.
They have won it. They're 6 points clear with two games to go, with a far superior goal difference, 36 goals on Raith Rovers, and that means that they are going back to the Premiership at the first time asking. It was Chris Mockery with the goal against 10-man Ayr United on Saturday, so cue scenes of celebrations, more than 10,000 there at Tannadice as well. So Dundee United back at the first time asking. Now, I posed this question on the show on Saturday, Big Saturday Football Show. Do you keep Jim Goodwin? And the reason I say that, and I'm purely playing devil's advocate here, Dundee got rid of Gary Bowyer last season when they got promoted, and they brought in Tony Docherty. Look what it's done for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jim Goodwin, last time he's been in the Premiership, had a horrible time at Aberdeen. St Mirren, he was always sort of kicking about, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th place.
He took Dundee United down. He came in to save the day.
And he took Dundee United down. So do you keep Jim Goodwin? Yep, he's won the league, which is what he needs to do. Do you keep him, though?
Yeah.
If you're being ruthless.
Yeah.
Because I'll also look at the...
Well, I mean, it would be really unfair on the boy if they were to get rid of him after he has achieved the goal set out to him at the start of the campaign, just gets back in the Premier League, and he's done
However,
that.
Is he the man to keep Dundee United up and not only keep them up, but prosper in the Premiership?
I would let him... I'd give him the pre-season, I'd give him until Christmas and see where you sit. I think Dundee United... Listen, they've had a few hiccups along the way, but they've been the better team. And there you go with the goal difference. They scored goals. Yeah.
They've scored the most goals, conceded the fewest.
Yes. So, listen, and you're going to have hiccups along the way. And fair play to Raith Rovers. They've kept it pretty close up until a couple of weeks ago. But Jim Goodwin's done a really good job on the whole there. So, yeah, you stick with Jim Goodwin and you see where you are at Christmas. But I think even with that squad that they've got right now, that's good enough to keep them in the Premier League next year. They've got a really good squad there, and they've got goals in their team as well. In regards to your Ross County's world, your St Johnstone's, your Livingston's and all that, I think they've got a really good squad there. They're going to add to it. I think they'll add some quality there. I think they'll be better next season. And I'm just delighted they're there.
When Dundee United are involved in a relegation battle next season, I'll remind you of this conversation.
But what I love about Dundee United coming back into the league is that we've got a huge football club back in the league, and Livingston are away. And I get accused of having a West Lothian agenda, and I am biased towards Livingston. I'm always finding a way to have a dig. They've been in the Premier League for 6 years, and what have they offered? They've had They've had umpteen opportunities to
grow. You managed to turn Dundee United winning league into an anti-Livingston run?
Well, no, what I'm saying is...
This is just your anti-West Lothian agenda coming out again.
No. What my point... They've been in the league for 6 years and they offer nothing and have offered nothing. In that 6 years, nothing has changed. Their pitch is still shit. They have no fans. They have no away fans. They offer nothing in regards to the top flight of Scottish football. And then you look at Dundee United, they're coming up with 10,000 fans. Their away support is superb. They're offering something big.
Last season, they offered something. A good laugh.
Right. But Dundee United coming up there are going to improve the Premiership. And as much as I respect the job that Martin Dale has done, and I respect what they've been trying to do at Livingston, it's just not good enough. And it's not a good advert for Scottish football. So I'm delighted they're on their way down. And at Dundee United, they're replacing them.
Raith Rovers did win on Friday night to sort of keep it going onto Saturday. They beat Inverness, who were desperate for the points. I mean, I watched the game. Inverness, how they didn't get something from that game, I'm not entirely sure. Dubrovsky in the Raith goal had a couple of amazing saves. But Inverness still very much in that relegation playoff disaster zone, if you want to call it that. In terms of the playoff, Morton are officially safe. They are fine. They beat Arbroath on Saturday, so they are totally fine. Dunfermline and Ayr United, pretty much fine.
They're done. They're fine.
So Dunfermline are 6 points ahead of Queen's Park.
You're fine.
Do you know the only thing that concerns me? The only thing that concerns me is Queen's Park play Arbroath on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. So if they win, that would close the gap to 3 points. We play Inverness on Saturday. If Inverness beat us, they would be 2 points behind us. So it would all go down to the last game.
You'll be fine.
I know we'll be fine, but I'm just, you know.
Don't listen to me, mate. Mate, relax. Relax, it'll be fine. It's all good.
We've got eight better goal difference in Queen's Park as well.
You're trying your best there to create a drama around something that's not going to happen.
Will you be fine, Stephen? Will you be fine?
Listen, I'm just programmed as a Dunfermline fan to think the worst. No, so I think we're fine. Airdrie got pumped on Saturday by Partick Thistle. So Partick Thistle look like they're going to finish third and they will play Airdrie again in the playoffs. So it's all kind of sorted apart for that relegation playoff spot in the Championship. So there you are. Right, let's move on to League One then. And Falkirk, jammy bastards on Saturday.
Wow.
Against Kelty Hearts.
Where did that come from?
Jammy bastards.
Nothing jammy about it, Stephen.
Cole Donaldson gets sent off for poleaxing somebody. A horrific challenge by Cole Donaldson. And it was, what, after 50 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
So Falkirk clinging on by their fingertips against Kelty Hearts on Saturday.
What a team
Not
performance.
The sign of an unbeaten champions, I would say, but you remain unbeaten.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That is the key to this, Stephen.
Who are your remaining two fixtures against?
We are playing Annan on Saturday and Alloa on the last game of the season. I have got the fear, much like you, that Annan could...
Well, Annan are on a really good run.
Yes, and they're fighting for their lives. If they win, if they get 3 points on Saturday, that's them safe pretty much. So I'm slightly worried about Saturday.
I'd love
but
that.
The
that
Navy Blue that. Juggernaut rolls on. Two games to go.
You're playing junior sides, mate.
You did manage to do it last season, Stephen.
Because we were playing not junior sides. We were playing Airdrie, who have just finished fourth in the Championship.
They were finished above you, didn't they? Yeah.
Well,
just checking.
Where did they finish last season? They finished third, and then where did you finish? You finished second. Who put you out in the playoffs last season? Was it Airdrie? It was Airdrie.
Anyway, the Navy Blue Juggernaut rolls on, everyone.
Anyway, Hamilton win against Montrose. So Montrose not quite got that playoff situation sorted yet. Alloa won, which means they're going to finish third. They beat Cove Rangers. They're still in with a shout. Cove Rangers at the playoffs. Stirling now being Queen of the South drew 0-0, and Annan beat Edinburgh City, as I mentioned. So a couple of games to go. Big one on Saturday. Kelty play Montrose at Kelty. If Kelty win, they would go level on points with Montrose going into the final game for that final playoff spot. So it's all to play for between Montrose, Cove and Kelty. Queen of the South, Annan and Stirling Albion could all still finish in that relegation playoff. Right, let's finally get to League Two. And it's been a busy week for the President of the United States, Joe Biden. But he's always got his eye on League Two for us.
Yo, yo, you to Steven. I'm still buzzing after the Warriors League win, and you can now buy my range of merch with a t-shirt that says, Vote Joe, Vote Stenny. Anyway, the League of Draws served up another three at the weekend with the champions closing in on some sort of record after their seventh consecutive draw with Clyde. Spartans and Dumbarton both sealed their playoff places, with the Edinburgh lot getting a win over the Rose, while Dumbarton drew 0-0 with Stranraer. Elgin City and Forfar are now safe after Black and Whites drew with the Fish Lovers Peterhead and the Loons beat Dick. Stranraer and Clyde separated by just 3 points, with one of them going to face either Lowland League winners East Kilbride or Bucky, who won the Highland League at the weekend. I love Bucky. That's all I got for you today, boys. See you on the next one.
See you, Joe. Yeah, congratulations to Bucky Thistle, who won the Highland League at the weekend. Obviously, it's been an amazing season for them. They played Celtic in the Scottish Cup earlier on this season as well, and now they've won the Highland League. So they will play East Kilbride, and then the winner of that will play either Clyde, Stranraer or Bonnyrigg, by the looks of it, at the bottom of League Two. Right, let's go through some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, there was nothing in the Rangers-Hearts game. Stephen McLean was in charge, and it was all fairly straightforward, yeah, as it was for Rangers. But in the Celtic game, there was a few things to go through. Don Robertson was in charge. The Liam Scales handball, was it outside the box or was it inside the box? I think that is the
debate.
The debate. Because right. I think if that's in the box, if it's in the box, it has to be a penalty. It has to be a penalty.
So when we first watched it, you, me, Steve Cowan all screamed penalty. The three of us thought penalty. And then you watch the replays of it and it's inconclusive.
Because you don't know whether it's inside the box. Right. I mean, it's conclusive that it's a handball.
And he sweeps his hand towards the ball.
Yeah.
But I think it's inconclusive whether it's in or out. I would suggest, this is what I would say, it's more likely to be out than in. That's my interpretation of it.
I mean, if it's outside the box, then fine, it's not a penalty. Like, I'll completely accept that.
But even, Stephen, if when it's inconclusive, it's you can't give it if you can't...
I know, and because Don Robertson was not in a position to give it because... He can't give it, so therefore... They go with the on-field decision, so that's why it wasn't given. So I totally understand that. But, I mean, again, we were talking earlier on, Celtic getting away with one. How lucky... I mean, literally a few inches...
Yeah, to the left.
To the left, yeah. And that's a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, Celtic were so lucky on Saturday. It was unbelievable. But I would say, I would excuse Don Robertson from that.
Correct.
That is a VAR decision.
100%.
And you're right.
Because it's behind Don Robertson. He cannot see Scales use his hand there.
He was blocked. He was blocked.
And VAR intervene. And listen, VAR look at that. And when it's inconclusive, you have to, as Stephen says, you have to stick to the original on-field decision, which is it's not a penalty.
However, I'm not excusing Don Robertson from this one.
This is a shocker.
Because I think this is a shocking decision. So Cameron Carter-Vickers kicks Hoylett. You know, it's one of those situations where Hoylett gets in front. Carter-Vickers is going to clear the ball, but he boots Hoylett. It's a penalty.
Oh, it's a penalty. Carter-Vickers knows it. Everyone in the stand knows it. Now, nobody's complaining.
It says here in my notes, Don Robertson had already blown for a foul on Johnson.
No, he hadn't.
We initially thought he'd given a penalty.
Because the way he pointed.
Because he pointed and then went...
And he turned around.
Oh, no, we're going that way.
Yeah.
So he gave it for a foul on Johnson. I think, again, incredibly soft.
Both go up for the head and they both miss it.
Incredibly soft.
They both miss the header. And Hoyley gets above Johnson as well. It's not a free kick. I'm sorry, it's not. Don Robertson... So the cross comes in, Hoylett and Johnson jump for the ball. Neither of them get a touch on it. There's a couple of moments of play in the
thing is that
McKenzie has a shot. It rebounds and then it comes to Carter-Vickers and Hoylett gets in front of Carter-Vickers. Carter-Vickers then kicks Hoylett. What's Don Roberts? There's no advantage to be gained there.
There's no Celtic advantage there.
In the penalty box. Why? It's bizarre. If I am Aberdeen, this is what I'm saying today. Yep. I'm putting a statement out going, I want the audio.
They should put a tweet out like Nottingham Forest.
Aye. If I'm Aberdeen, I'm asking for the audio for that incident because it makes no sense.
I
None of
it
makes any sense.
Shocker. An absolute shocker.
But what was he thinking? There's no advantage to be gained there, even if you just allow him play to play on. They're in the Celtic penalty area. Celtic are under the cosh, under pressure. What advantages are to be gained for Celtic being under pressure? There's none. The decision doesn't make sense at all. If he thought it was a free kick, as soon as the cross comes in, he has to go.
He has to blow.
He can't let play go on.
And that, you're totally right. There was another couple of bits to the play.
There was a shot at rebound.
And then he blows his whistle after Højlund gets taken down. Aye. So, and then points.
I know.
And then goes like that.
It's a crazy decision. If I'm Aberdeen, I want the audio.
Yeah.
I really want the audio of that.
I think Don Robertson has...
He's messed that up.
He's messed that up.
And Can I play devil's advocate here? Now, you have seen this. What I'm about to describe to you, I've seen it quite a bit in the Premiership down south, and it's happened a few times in Scotland. Has the referee, is he replaying that incident in his head, and as it's going on, he's saying, I might have got that wrong, that might have been a free kick there. Do you know what I'm saying? He's giving up the thinking time.
But
it happened so quick, the Carter Vickers thing.
Well, surely that's what VAR's for. He didn't even go across and have a look at it.
Well, maybe VAR have said to him in his ear, by the way, that was a free kick. Maybe he's asked them. Who knows? That's what I'm saying, ask for the audio. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to give Don Robertson the benefit out here, playing devil's advocate. He was looking right at the cross when it comes in. He's looking at Johnson and he's looking at Højlund. Is he in his own head thinking, was that a free kick? Is that a free kick? And then he's like, is that a free kick? Yeah, it was. And by that time, he's already been a bit late in making his... But it happens. Referees do let play carry on a bit longer than they should have, then they pull it back. Is that what's happened there? Has he done it?
But there's no advantage.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. I think he probably does think it's a free kick, but he's just replaying it in his own head, and by the time he reaches a decision...
By the time it comes, Aberdeen should got a penalty. Yeah. Should have got a penalty.
I know. It's a tough one. Listen.
Honestly, if I'm an Aberdeen fan, I am spewing about the weekend.
I have praised Don Robertson on this show a few times. I think he's had some really good games and he's put in some really good performances. And I thought on Saturday he was good. Apart from that one, and it was a big decision. Now, at that time, the game was 2-1 to Celtic. And listen, fair play to Aberdeen. They go and get their second goal and they get the equaliser. So, yeah. Listen, if I'm Aberdeen, I want to hear the audio of that. Yeah. And I want an explanation from Don Robertson.
Okie dokie, that was VAR WTF. You can have your say as ever at Big Football. Scott, let's put something in the bin, shall we?
Oh. Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Okay, it's our version of Room 101, but for Scottish football, we suggest something we want to put in the bin, or we leave it up to you, and that's what we've done this week as well. Because we didn't give our opinions on this last week, but we just said, should the split in the Scottish Premiership go in the Scottish football bin? Now, I didn't offer any opinion, neither did you, but lots of you had your say. Chris says, I personally like it. Aye, for the top half, it means very little. Maybe two or three teams playing for a Euro spot, but it makes the relegation battle very interesting to watch. Bob says, Binnett, bigger league, play each other twice. Gap will close between the Old Firm and the rest. TV deal can be redone. Four TV matches from each ground would actually work. Other clubs don't need four Old Firm visits either for fans' money. They're apparently experiment over. Rangers Class says, no, it should stay, but we should change the format. Extended to 14 teams, play two full rounds of fixtures, home and away, then split top six and bottom eight, play a further two rounds, so bottom teams get two more games because of the lack of the Old Firm income, and keeps four Old Firms and removes unfair home and away
ratio. That's too complicated. It's too complicated for
He's
me.
He's written that in an extremely complicated way, but I don't think it is.
Well, I think it sounds complicated.
That's because it's your brain. Darren says, it's not exciting in any way. It was meant to make games more exciting. This season has been the worst top six. Hearts third, Kelly fourth, fifth, and sixth playing for nothing other than a few quid. We need first and second going to teams fighting for points to stay in the league. That's a good point, actually. John says, if we're reconstructing the league to expand it, we get it in the bin. If we're only getting it in the bin for the sake of getting it in the bin, then no, keep it. Bear002 says, been saying for 30 years, no team out with Rangers or Celtic will win the league. Whilst we play each other four times, expand the league, play each other twice, teams are now restricting the old firm allocation, so they obviously don't need the money from four old firm games at home.
Great point.
So,
I'm with him on that one.
Drum roll, please, producer John.
We've got a result.
We have a result. With 68.4%, the split's going in the bin.
Thank you.
Scottish football fans have had their say.
Let's keep this fairly snappy. Just very quickly, are you putting it in the bin?
You know what I would do? I would do something similar to American football.
Okay.
I would take the top four teams that finish in the league, and then you'd have a big playoff final between the top four, home and away, and then a final at Hampden.
So even though, say, for argument's sake, say Celtic finish 21 points in front of Rangers at the end of the season.
Remember, it's like the Super Bowl. Right. So you have your AFC champs. So you have your,
I get that.
So you have, they have the league championship, but mm-hmm. you go for this big prize.
Right, okay.
Like a Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it. So you take the top four clubs. Celtic, for example, as they did last year, they have won that league. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the playoffs.
So who goes into the Champions League?
Sorry? The winners of the... The winners of the playoffs between the four clubs.
So the winner of the Scottish Super Bowl goes into the Champions League.
Yeah.
So Celtic can finish 21 points. Correct. Or Rangers can finish 21 points in front of the team that finished second over the course of an entire season.
Hearts and Kilmarnock have got a chance to get in the Champions League. Why not?
No, I mean, listen.
How exciting would that be? Finishing the top four. Celtic and Rangers say they're first and second. They get home advantage for the second leg because they're the better side and they finish first and second.
I am purely playing devil's advocate here. I mean, that's never going to happen.
How good would it be, though?
I actually think that playoffs are great.
Aye.
I would have more playoffs.
Snap.
You could have eight in a playoff. You could have effectively quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And do it that way. And again, it would be whoever finished first versus eighth.
Or even let's not say that the Champions League is the league winners, they get in the Champions League, but this Champions League place for second is up for grabs for everybody for the other three. Do you know what I mean? There's ways you could do it, but I think what we need here is to give teams an opportunity to win something or to get themselves into a position in the league where there's some sort of like playoff system to win like a Super Bowl.
I do think that we're probably reaching a stage over the next 5 years, I would say, where something needs to change.
Dramatic.
Because Celtic and Rangers are so dominant, and everything is already weighted in their favour.
Yeah.
Like the guy mentions the four games against Celtic and Rangers, or eight games against Celtic and Rangers in some cases. We've spoken about this on the show before. It's harder for other teams to put a decent run together because they've always got a Celtic or Rangers to play very shortly. I think, to go back to the original question, if we're keeping it as it is, I think we keep the split. I think it's fine. I think it does create a wee bit of excitement. I actually think the bottom six is good when there's the bottom six all playing each other. Mm-hmm. I think that is good. But I do think we need to have some sort of expanded league, and I would introduce more playoffs.
I'd have an 18-team top division and then a playoff at the end of the season.
Right then, so...
Can I put something in the Scottish football bin?
Yeah, you can nominate for next week. What are you going to put in?
Jambo Bear.
You're going to put Jambo Bear, you getting called Jambo Bear, into the Scottish football bin.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it for next week. Should the Jambo Bear nickname for Ewan Cameron be put in the Scottish football bin. Yep. You can get us at Big Football Scott. That's on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram as well. We'll put a poll up on Twitter for this one. That's how you vote on that. You can leave your comments on our YouTube channel. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard and you can leave your comments on YouTube. And yeah, should Jambo Bear be dropped as a nickname for Ewan Cameron?
Enough is enough. That is it. We're okay. Coming towards the end of the season. The Jambo Bear nickname, which I heard about a million times yesterday at Hampden and at Hart Hill, that's it for me. I think it needs to go in the Scottish football bin. You've had your laugh.
You've had your fun.
And that's it for me. So hopefully you'll put it in the bin.
Okay, right. Well, you can vote on Twitter for that, at Big Football Scott. A wee reminder that Clyde One Super Scoreboard on every single night this week from 6 o'clock, on at the weekend as well. One on Sunday, I presume, John McAnally as well, I presume. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's on
Rangers
Sunday.
And Celtic playing on Sunday.
So Saturday and Sunday.
Big programme.
Yeah, big programme on Sunday. So make sure you're around for that, obviously. 102.5 Clyde One on FM, and you can listen on all your devices. And on Saturdays, it's a big Saturday football show on 4th One, West FM, TFM, MFR and North Sound 1. This week it's Ewan Cameron and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan, because I am not there. Right, let's get it. It's so late for calling Jose. So late.
Jose.
Okay, right, let's call him.
It's 1 o'clock.
Aye, he'll be having his siesta.
It's way too late, man.
Ah, it's too late. He'll be sleeping. Benny's bed.
Yeah, because he's at the gym early in the morning.
Yeah.
Mate, I would just cut it off. He's not going to answer.
Ah, he'll be having his afternoon nap and then.
I don't want to wake him up because he's angry when you wake him up.
Aye, he'll be getting up for countdown soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we leave it, John.
Leave it, John. John, turn it off, mate. John, he's sleeping. John. He's an early riser.
Hi, it's Jose. Yeah. I'm coming for phones right now.
Even sounds like he's sleeping on his answer phone.
Can't take your call right now. Just leave your message after the tone. When you're done, press hash or just hang up.
Hi, Jose. It's Ewan and Stephen here from the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hi, Jose. We're hoping that we haven't woken you up from your wee afternoon nap that you have.
Because countdown's on in a couple of hours.
We're really late today. Yeah.
Okay. Cheers, bud.
Okay, bye-bye. Speak to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And there he goes. Can we
Jose.
Right, Scottish football's even greater, harder, hardest question, even more solid question. What's the connection between Father Dougal Maguire and Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? Robbie says each team has a player whose father's called Dougal. They're all stupid and pointless. That's a bit harsh, Bill. Darren says, is in an episode of Father Ted that he mentions he supports four football teams, which are Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline.
Ah.
Civil Strollers FC, Ardal Hanlon played Dougal, and Hibs once had a player called Sean O'Hanlon. Is it not Sean Hanlon? Or no, it's Paul Hanlon.
It's Paul Hanlon, aye.
Mark says, I believe Father Dougal Maguire wore football shirts to his bed in the show Father Ted. Did he wear the shirts of all those teams?
Good one.
Robert says, is the answer to the hardest question that the four teams chipped in to buy the bomb that Pat Mustard put on Dougal's milk float? Unfortunately, all of those are incorrect answers. Incorrect answers. It's Scottish football's greater, more solid, hardest, harder question. And it is, what's the connection between Father Dougal Maguire, Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? Get your answers in at Big Football Scott on Twitter.
Anyone close with their answers?
No. So, get in touch about that. And also, you can get in touch on YouTube as well. And we'll keep this going for as long as it takes. Let's move on to the quiz, ladies and gentlemen. The highlight of the show, which is our shootout quiz. Five questions for both me and you and Cameron. Penalty shootout style. We've already addressed the elephant in the room, which was John being shite at questions last week and getting the wrong answers. And this week, you and Cameron, you've got something to say.
I have something to say. So last week on the quiz, It was decided that my specialist subject today would be Father Ted, because I admitted last week that I'd never watched an episode of Father Ted, and everybody on Twitter, including yourself, Stephen, and producer John, were shocked that I had never watched Father Ted, apparently one of the greatest comedy shows of all time. And I was tasked this week to watch Father Ted. So I have started to watch Father Ted, also did some research on Father Ted and read some Wikipedia things and some stats and facts and information about the actors and the story, etc., etc., etc. But as much as I am enjoying Father Ted...
Are you liking it?
I'm enjoying it, yes I am. So, but here's what I'm going to say. Today, John, I know that you have five questions for me about Father Ted. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am in no position to answer these questions. And I'm going
Wait.
There's a reason. And I'm going to tell you why I'm in no position to answer these questions about Father Ted. I've only just started watching the TV show. Yes, I've done some research. But the reason that I am changing it today is because I am going to be taking the exact same questions that Stephen's going to get. We're going to write down our answers, and then we're going to show our answers at the same time, because I feel, like the punters, that you've been screwing me over week in and week out. Today's the day where you give me the exact same questions as Stephen, and we write them down and we show them at the same time.
Is it not a bit boring?
No, it's not.
Not very exciting.
I don't give a shit what you think, because this is going to prove once and for all, when I win today, that I get the same questions as Muppet over there.
Brilliant. Okay, fine. We'll do it that way
we'll
then.
We'll keep the timer on though.
It's good. Yeah, it's going to be really boring for the audience when
you're
sitting watch. If you're sitting or listening to the podcast, sitting listening to you write down answers or watching you write down answers is
not
matter. Very.
It doesn't matter.
Fine.
I don't give a hoot what you think, because this is to prove that you screw me over week in and week out.
Right.
Because
okay,
I know,
let's prove it.
I know that I'm going to beat him now, because I'm getting his questions. Because I know you've got five questions for him about football, and you had five questions for me for Father Ted. Those questions you've got, I will answer.
You got the questions for Father Ted?
No, I do. Do you want me to whiz through them, Stephen?
No,
you can see if you can answer
them.
You
keep them for me, because I'm watching it just now.
All right, okay.
Keep them for me. This is, today is what's happening with him. Me and him, the same questions.
Okay. All right, I'm fine with that. Doesn't bother me.
Right, okay. Right, he's ready to write down for this exciting bit of audio that's about to happen.
I've got five different bits of paper.
And then we'll write them down, and then we'll show them and read and shout out our answers at the same time.
Fantastic.
Go.
Great. Right, Paulo Bernardo is on loan to Celtic from which club is your first question? You aren't going to need the timer, are you?
No, I've written down already.
Right, fine. And then you've both got to show your answer now to the camera.
Yeah, you ready?
You and what have you...
In 3, 2, 1.
Benfica.
See?
Go, both right.
I'm telling you, this is going to prove what I've always thought. I get screwed over with the questions.
Oh, Jesus, I'll just leave it to the next question. Right. In what year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup? You know that one that you got knocked out of at the weekend? What was the year the last time you won it?
Timer.
Do you want the timer on this
one?
Okay.
What year was it? Have you written down an answer?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy with that?
Yep.
Right, I've got my answer.
You sure now, Ewan?
Yeah, I've got my answer. See if I get this wrong, I'm leaving.
Right.
You ready? 3, 2, 1.
2012,
that's what I've put.
2012 for me as well.
Get it, see? The punters are right. I get screwed over every week. Two out of two. How strange is this?
You get screwed over.
Wait,
you had a
Hearts
question.
Wait, hold on a second. Does this not prove?
Ewan, you could answer that question. You were honest to God.
Listen to me.
These questions were written for Stephen today, by the way.
That's my point.
Yeah, because you were getting Father Ted questions.
My point is this. Is that because I'm taking Stephen's question, that's my point, because I get screwed over
because
my questions. That's my fucking point.
They were written specifically for Stephen today because you were doing
point.
Doing Father Ted questions.
What part don't you understand?
What part do you not understand? Stephen was going to get the football questions. You were going to get the Father Ted questions.
John, you're not listening
They're just random football questions.
John, what I've done here is whenever we play this game and we both get football questions, I always get screwed over. And Stephen seems to get questions that he gets all the time. And here we are.
Because Stephen knows more about Scottish football than you, Ewan. That is the simple answer.
I've got 282. Right, There's a surprise. Stephen's questions, and I've got 282.
This is. We're in your ballpark right now, Ewan. Here we go. Who was the last Rangers player to win the PFA Player of the Year? We're in your ballpark now, Jambo Bear. Come on.
See that just chucked in the Scottish football bin. You better stop fucking calling me that, you prick.
Timer.
Stephen's struggling with this one. Oh, yeah, don't look up like that because you're waiting to see who makes the first move.
What was the question again?
Who was the last Rangers player to win the PFA Player of the Year?
I've got an answer.
You've got an answer.
Have you got an answer? Are you happy with your answer? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to shout it out. I'm
ready to go.
Right, okay.
3, 2, 1.
James Tavernier.
Went Rickson.
Rickson? Right, I can exclusively reveal one of you has it right and one of you has it wrong. I wonder who has it right. Ewan, could you repeat your answer to me? Fernando Rickson.
And I've gone for James Tavernier.
Ewan.
And Marshall has saved.
Stephen.
James Tavernier.
It's James Tavernier. There we go.
So, how's your conspiracy theory going now?
Come on, keep going.
Right, next question on the big shootout. Bucky won the Highland League on goal difference at the weekend, but by how many goals? Bucky won the Highland League at the weekend, but by how many goals did they win it on goal difference?
Did you put that in the stats that you gave Stephen earlier?
Nope.
That's 100% not in the script.
Go and have a look for the Highland League in the script. When have I ever put the Highland League?
Do we have to get the answer nailed on here?
Yes, that's how quizzes work, Ewan.
Or do you want it to either side?
No! I won't.
Ooh. Say the question again.
Bucky won the Highland League at the weekend on goal difference, but by how many goals?
This is so annoying, because you could just pick a number and get it right.
Right, I've picked a number. You picked a number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both picked a number.
Yeah, here we go.
Right, okay. Right, you ready to give me your answers?
Yes.
Yep. Right, okay. Right, fire away.
2.
I've gone 9.
One of yous is right. Ewan, what was your answer?
9.
And Marshall has
saved! Oh, you're kidding me on! Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm really good.
Are you serious?
I'm really good. I said 2, and that means I've won.
Are you serious?
Game over. Myth busted. Conspiracy debunked.
Do you want the Father Ted questions?
Oh, amazing times.
How did you get 2?
Because...
Where?
I don't know. And they won it over Brechin, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I just remember it. I read something that was really, really tight.
Fraser brought 1-11-0 and still didn't get the result he needed.
But I remember reading it was really, really close, but I didn't think it was 1. So I just guessed 2.
See if I was you.
Yeah.
I would be pretty kind of like embarrassed that you knew that.
How? I would have been embarrassed if I knew
that. It's just very geeky, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's just so geeky. Oh, look at me. I know everything about Scottish football.
I don't know everything about Scottish football.
I just sit in my house all weekend reading up on goal difference and fucking goals scored and
fundamentally,
who's the manager of fucking Highland League.
It doesn't matter whether I know everything about Scottish football.
Just shut up.
Ultimately, honestly, I know more than you.
You're irritating me now.
Great. Well, we better end the podcast then.
Yeah, cheerio.
Right, bye then. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. There goes Ewan. Another humping in the quiz. And thank you to all...
That was the humping.
We had a question to spare. Like, a one-way question to spare. That's a humping. So anyway, search for us on YouTube and also on Spotify, all your usual podcast places as well. Leave us a big, fat, juicy 5 stars and a nice review. We always like that. Get your comments in for Scottish Football in the Bin. Jambo Bear.
Does that
go in the bin? You're such a fanny. So get your votes in for that. A big football, Scott. We'll see you next week when Father Ted will be back as well. There he is.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.